Thanks for joining us here at Sandals Church, because here we are all about this vision of being real. So no matter where you're from, no matter what your story is, this is a place where you can be real. And right now, God is creating so much momentum through this vision of being real. So the question is, what will you do with your moment of faith? And you can join us through this whole momentum project at move.sc/momentumonline or join us on our app. Have a great week.
Faith is something that is essential to your relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God. You cannot make God happy in your relationship with Him.
To not believe in Jesus in our age takes way more faith than it does to believe. Listen, your faith, it's a field that's worth defending.
The Bible says, in His loving kindness, He saved us. It's our faith built upon this truth that inspires us to cultivate kindness to others.
Regardless of what the world says about what's right or wrong or what we should think or feel, our faith is this internal compass that guides us. And the reality is that without faith, we cannot call ourselves Christians.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much, man. It is so good to be here, man. You know, I don't know if today is your first time or whether you've been with us through this whole series, but God has been doing great things. But along with great things come great challenges. And today I want to talk to you about facing tough times. How many of you have ever been through a tough time? Okay? If you haven't been, I'm going to pray that God blesses you with one this week. Man, whenever you want to step out in faith, you're going to have to face tough times. A lot of us believe that if it's for God, it's going to be easy. It always scares me when Christians prove to themselves the way they know that they're walking with God is when God opens doors. You see, the assumption is if it's an open door, then God must be, you know, for it. But sometimes God's called us to break down some doors. Sometimes God's called us to go through some doors. Sometimes God's called us to go through some walls. And I don't know where you are, but I want you to know life will not get any easier, but you can have more power. And that's my prayer for you this week, that God would not bless you with an easier life, but that God would bless you with more power. You know, we're in a series where we're trying to raise $10 million extra dollars. Doesn't that just sound ridiculous how easy that just rolls off my lips, right? We're just trying to raise just a little bit extra money, right? Can you imagine if that was your, you know, if you're married, you get home, hey, honey, we just need to raise an extra $10 million, right? Somebody like, we're sunk, right? No, not with God. With God, He has resources that we don't know about, and God can do amazing, amazing things. You got to trust God. You got to believe in God, and you never, never know what God's going to do. So Tammy and I, we got together and we talked about what we were going to give to the church, because I never ask you to do something that I don't do myself. So we came up with a number. God said, double it. We did. And every single piece of electronic equipment we own in our house is the devil. Everyone. We came up with a number for God, and all of our appliances were like, we're with Satan. Every single one of them. I'm not kidding you. Our TV's gone out. Our dishwasher's gone out. Our refrigerator's gone out. The septic tank needs to be pumped. And you got to poop, right? Amen? You got to poop. You can't hold that for God. You got to go. There's some things you can't wait on, right? You can't wait. And we just had appliance after appliance. Things go out. Things go out. But God's been blessing us. God's been taking care of me. This week, as I'm typing this message, I get a text message. Tammy and I own a rental property. And the renter texts me a picture of the water heater and his garage. I'm like, of course. Of course. Not only are the appliances in my house the devil, but at the rental property as well. I just started laughing. And so I text the guy in our church who does our repairs. I text him. He's like, really? I'm like, yes, really. So I don't know if you're on your second water heater. I don't know where you are in your faith this week, but I want you to know that there's power for you. There's power for you. And God wants you to learn to tap into this power. Because if you're raising kids, you need power today more than you've ever needed it before. If you're going to stay married today and be in a marriage that you want to stay in, you're going to need power, more power than married people have ever needed at any point in history. Look, if you're going to make money and do it honestly today, you need power. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how God's going to bless you with power when you face tough times, because when God's standing with you, you can get through it. Let's begin with a word of prayer and ask God to bless us with some power today. Father, we come before you today in desperate need of power. Lord, we have marriages that are struggling and finances that are wavering and children that are wandering. And God, we need your Holy Spirit right now, right here in this place to strengthen us. God, I know that there are some people with us who are not Christians. They're trying on Christianity. God, I pray that you would speak powerfully to them today. And I pray that you would move through us as a church to do great things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk today about a guy by the name of Moses. Let me summarize Moses' life for you in three statements. He had a lot, he lost a lot, he found it all. Anybody, is that your testimony? Had a lot, lost a lot, but I found Jesus, I found it all. Moses was born into a very, very wealthy family. He was, you know, second in line to become king of Egypt, the most powerful country in the world. He lost it all when he lost his temper, and he was driven out of Egypt, and he wandered in the desert. Lost everything, had a lot, lost a lot, but he found God. He had an encounter with a burning bush, and it changed his life forever. But here's the thing. A lot of people believe this. Once I start following God, life will get easy. Life is never going to be easy. I don't care whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're young or you're old. The question is not whether or not is life easy. The question is, what power do you have to get through life? What power do you have? Moses' money couldn't save him. He lost everything, but God found him, and he found everything. Let's take a look at this story. Moses is now the leader of an entire nation. Turns out all that training, all that schooling, all that military understanding isn't wasted, and he is now the leader of a newly formed nation called the Israelites. And they've come together, and they're invading the Promised Land. They're going into the Promised Land. They've left Egypt, and you know, not everybody welcomes them. Not everybody's excited when you become a Christian. Not everybody's excited when you change your life. And so they go into the land, and there's battles to be fought. And there's a king named Amalek who came and fought Israel at Rephidim. Moses ordered Joshua. Hopefully you remember Joshua. Joshua was always faithful, always ready to fight, always ready to do God's will. He ordered Joshua, he says, select some men for us to go out and fight tomorrow. Okay, now if you're older, underline this next sentence. And if you have to think about whether or not that includes you, you're older, right? If you paused, I wonder if that's you, that you've transitioned. You've transitioned. You're no longer young. You are now older, okay? Right? You've heard me joke about this. You know how you got older? My neck has been out for a week. My neck, out for a week. I can't look this way. I gotta like do this. For a week, people say, what happened? Nothing. I went to bed, I woke up, and my neck was broken. That's how you know you're old. That's how you know you're old. When you're young, it's exciting. When you're old, you went to sleep. That's it. I don't know what happened. I was resting, and I got injured. So, he says, select some men from us to go out and fight. We got to have warriors in the church. We got to have people who are young and vibrant and excited. This is what's wrong with a lot of churches today. They got no young people. Everybody's wounded from sleeping.
I can't go, Pastor. I can't do it.
Select some men for us to go out and fight. He says, tomorrow I'll take my stand on top of the hill holding God's staff. Last week I was invited by some young college students to go play soccer. Yeah. I need my pelvis where it is, right? I mean, there can be catastrophic injuries in a soccer game. And I said, well, I heard you used to play soccer. Yeah, a long time ago. I mean, I kicked the ball and you can go chase it. We can do that all day long. We went to visit Tammy's grandma, man, in a rest home. Everybody's playing soccer, sitting on chairs. It was the great. I was like, I'm going to be there soon. Nobody runs. They got a worker that goes and gets the ball if it goes out of bounds. You just stay in your chair, kick it. It's awesome, man. See, as you get older, to stay active, you got to get creative. That's what you got to do. You got to get creative, man. You can't lose a hip. You can't do that. He says, tomorrow I will take my stand on the top holding God's staff. I'm too old to play soccer. So what do? Joshua did what Moses ordered him, to go fight Amalek. Man, listen to me. We need young people to go and fight and to do the work of God. We need that. But we also need people that are like Moses. Moses, Aaron, and went up to the top of the hill. Why? They're old guys. We don't want them fighting. They're going to lose a hip charging. Can you imagine what happened? Oh, I don't know. We charged and I was done. So they go to the top of the hill. Man, underline this. Many of you miss this sentence. You miss because you don't know the power of God. So Joshua and all the young men, they're fighting. They're giving it their very best. I love this sentence. It turns out. Look at those words. It turns out. Don't you love the honesty of Scripture? Wow. Anybody ever been shocked? Wow. That man, I did the God thing and it worked. Can you imagine how frustrated God is? God's like, oh, you're lucky I don't zap you right now. Wow. Wow. If I was God, you'd all be dead. I would start over. You would too, these people. So Joshua did what he was ordered to do. He goes up to fight. As it turns out, whenever Moses raises his hands, it's a symbol of prayer. Underline this. Israel was winning. We're shocked. Shocked. It amazes me how many of you are surprised when you do things God's way. Life works. Life works. We were hanging out with some friends last night. We're talking about our kids. Man, raising kids today is scary. Because here's what the world says. The world says God's way is the dumb way. Let me tell you who's dumb. The world is dumb. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any idea. And we were laughing, and I just had to remind everybody in the group, because we were talking about our early 20-year-old kids, and I said, let me tell you where I was in my early 20s. Still on the dumb side. But here's the thing. Listen to me. Some of you guys are, well, your life is so easy. My life is not easy, but it is blessed. And here's why. Turns out, when you do it God's way, it works. It works. Yeah, three people. Oh, woo, 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 woo. Everybody else is like, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. Man, listen to me, guys. Some of you guys are like, I don't understand women. You don't have to. You got to learn to pray for them. Start praying. Stop fighting. Start praying. You're in a fight. You don't know what to do. Just go to the hill. Right? Man. As it turned out, this is one of the funniest sentences in Scripture. As it turns out, when you do it God's way, life works out. Whenever Moses raises his hands, Israel was winning. Oh, here's a big but. But whenever he lowered his hands, that is, stops praying, Amalek was winning. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Oh, my life was doing so good. I don't know what happened. Did you quit church? Yep. Stop praying? Yep. I wonder. I mean, can you imagine? Oh. Man, what would happen if instead of griping after your kids, you started praying for them? You say, I don't want to pray for my kids. I want to strangle them. You know what I learned? The best time to pray for your children is while they're asleep. They're sweeter when they're unconscious. Now, the problem is, listen to me. Let me teach you some parental ninjutsu. Here's the problem. As they get older, it can outlast you. So you got to catch them in the morning. If you have a teenager, you could come through their bedroom with an elephant and a band at 6 a.m. They ain't waking up. Just go in there. Bring Aaron. Bring Pray over him. Right? You can't do it at night because they'll outlast you. They'll be like, what are you doing, Mom, Dad? Come into my room. You going to kill me? What's going on? Okay. Focus. Whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses got tired. Anybody ever get tired? Oh, Lord, I can't keep praying for my kid. I can't keep praying for my marriage. I'm tired of praying for my finances. You see, nobody's as real as the Bible is. Spiritual people get tired. They get tired. So look at this. Moses got tired, so they got a stone. They set it under him. Why? He's an old guy. He can't stand forever. He sat on it, and Aaron and Ur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands remained steady until the sun went down, underline it, and Joshua defeated Amalek and its army in the battle because of prayer. Because of prayer. Listen to me, a praying church is a powerful church. A praying family is a powerful family. And here's the thing, man, everybody's scared to death to pray. Write this down. When my life is at its worst, I need prayer the most. The most. It amazes me, man, when I show up to an emergency, and I've been at horrible emergencies. I've seen people die right in front of me. Praying is the last thing anybody does. I know what we should do. Everybody get in the corner and pace and worry. Because that's effective. Right? It's ridiculous. Even our hospitals don't get it anymore. We don't have prayer rooms. We have meditation rooms. What is that? Man, you go vibrate somewhere else. I'm praying. I'm praying. When my life is at its worst, I need prayer the most. Man, if you're in a fight and you're married and it won't stop, start praying. It works. I've done it. Tammy doesn't know what to do. Underline this. In my desperation, I prayed. Some of you don't understand why God wants you to get desperate, because that's the only way he can get your attention. In my desperation, I prayed. God, I don't know what to do with this kid. I don't know what to do with my marriage. God, I don't know what to do with my job, with my school, with my debt, with my life. In my desperation, I prayed. And the Lord, thank God, listened. And he saved me from all my troubles. Wow. Turns out, when you pray, God blesses your life. When you're obedient, God's with you. Here's the thing. When you fight against God, you always lose. And when you fight with God, you win. Shocker. Here's the problem. Some of you are not desperate enough. You're not desperate enough. I mean, they don't let me do counseling anymore, but when I used to get to do it, you know the couple that I want to do counseling with? You know the person I want to do counseling with? I want to do counseling with a person that's desperate. At the very end of their rope, and they're ready to do whatever God says. I can't stand doing counseling with a person that thinks they got it all together. Or that thinks that they can fix it. A lot of people, that's why they come to church. I just need some pointers. Yeah, you're going to hell. There's my pointer. See, that's why I don't get to do counseling. Not good at it. Listen to me, if you got a runaway kid, you got a lost kid, parents, you got to love your child's soul more than you love their life. You know what your kid needs to be? Desperate. Desperate. That's the person that cries out to God. And here's the thing. Some human beings are pretty dang incredible. You ever met that person? You're like, I don't know when they're going to hit bottom. Some people have a lower bottom than the rest of us. Right? Like, I fell, it hurt, I got my life right with Jesus. Some people are like, I'll do that again. And again, and again, and you're just like, that looks like it hurts. I know, but this is who I am. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and don't ever forget it. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. Some of you are raising a Jonah, and you just need to Uber a fish, Lord. I don't want them to die, but if that's what it takes, right? Get their attention. Get their attention. Wake them up. Some of you got to be swallowed before you can become alive. You can become alive. Jonah was a rebel against God, and he became a picture of the future Jesus. Jesus said, like Jonah, I will be in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and then I'm coming back. And I'm coming back. Philippians 4:6, this is the worst verse of my life. Do not be anxious about anything. I was like, God, that's all I'm good at. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Let's circle that word and come back to it. Present your requests to God. One of the reasons you're so anxious is you fail to remember all the times God answered your prayer. You see, if you change what you're looking at, you change what you see. The reason you're anxious is you're focused on the problem. The reason you become thankful is when you're focused on what God's done. What has God done in my life? What has God done? God's been with us. He'll be with us again. And that's the thing, man. Some of you guys are simply learning the goodness of God by going through the problems of life. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's the thing. Sometimes I will need others to help me pray. Here's one of the saddest things to me about Christians. Most Christians are too embarrassed to be honest. Man, I like to mess with people because, see, when I'm around, everybody assumes I'm going to pray. But I am a spiritual ninja. And so I'll look around and I look at the most nervous person right before prayer time and I go, Bob, it's you. And people are scared to death. Oh! Terrified. Terrified. They were like, I would rather jump off an airplane than pray over this food. Scared to death. Sometimes I need others to help me pray. And you know what the problem is? Many of you have never been taught to pray. No one's ever taught you. Never be discouraged. Listen to what Paul says. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. We need to be encouraged by people. You should never be put down. Well, that was a really lousy prayer, Bob. I don't even know if I can eat this. We gotta go somewhere else. Sometimes I need somebody else to help me pray. Write this down. Sometimes I need somebody to help me, to teach me to pray. You know the disciples, these 12 guys, handpicked by Jesus, Navy SEALs for God. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him, just one, and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? You know what they're saying? We don't know how to do it like you do it. When you talk to God, it sounds different. Can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? I mean, can you imagine? Whoa, I don't get that feeling when the words come out of my mouth, right? I want to pray like you, Jesus. I want to pray like you. So here's what Jesus says about prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Circle that word. Don't be fake. I don't know why Christians change their voice when they pray. I mean, some of you guys sound like a Bud Light commercial. Dilly dilly. You know, it's like, what? Are we drinking beer or praying? I don't know what's happening. Write this in your notes. When I talk to God, I need to be normal. Some of you pray, doth Father who art in heaven, hallowed. And he's like, who is that? Shakespeare? I thought he was dead. Just be you. You know the quickest way to be fake is to not be you. Can you imagine if my children said, our Father who is in our house, hallowed be thy name. We come with a simple request. Like, what are you doing? When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues. Underline this, where everyone can see them. Here's what Jesus is teaching you. Prayer is not a show. It's not a show. Be you. Be you. You know what most people's fear is? Most people's fear is they're going to run out of things to say. I say, good. Good. You know what Ecclesiastes says when you come before the Lord? Let your words be few. Few. And nobody knows how to do that anymore. Nobody knows how to be quick. Here's what God's saying. Get to the point. Get to the point. What do you need? When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again, like God doesn't understand. Think about that. Some of you were raised in religious tradition where you pray the same thing over and over again. I don't want to step on any religious traditions, but listen to me. If you say it once and mean it, God's got it. That's it. You don't need to go around again. You don't need to touch the bead over and over and over again. Just come before God and tell him what you need. Right? They think their prayers are answered because they're merely repeating their words again and again and again and again. And God says, just say what you need. Right? Any parent ever have a kid go do this? My kids used to do this, drove me crazy. Dad, 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 dad. What? How many parents?
I forgot.
Okay, you forgot, and now I'm insane. I had my kids confuse me. Dad, dad, mom, dad, dad, mom, mom, dad, dad. It's dad. It's dad. Okay? You don't need to say Lord over and over and over and over again. When you say Lord, God knows who you're talking to. Lord, yes. And let me say to this about prayer. We confuse a lot of young Christians. Prayer is not about you hearing from God. Prayer is about God hearing from you. Do you understand that? When I pray, it's about God listening to me, not me hearing from God. If God chooses to speak to you, praise God, but you better do it. You better do it. Don't ask for a word if you're not going to be obedient. Prayer is about God hearing from his children. And a lot of Christians get confused by that. So I need somebody to teach me how to pray. Next, let me say this. Sometimes I need somebody to pray with me. Would you pray with me? I need somebody to pray with me. Do you know why? Sometimes your arms get tired. Even Moses got tired. Even Moses got tired. Listen, you're human. You get tired. You know Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he asked his disciples to pray with him. If Jesus wanted to be with people when he prayed, what does that say about us? Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Remember, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be long-winded, long-worded. It doesn't take a long time. Just pray with me. Just pray with me. Look, you can stay with me a long time, but let's just pray just real quickly together. Would you pray for my kid? Would you pray for my marriage? Would you pray for my healing? Would you pray for me? Of course. And let me say this. You know, during this time, I've been able to go to all of our 8 campuses. And people, when they ask me to pray with them, when I encounter them, they're always a little apologetic. Don't ever apologize at Sandals Church for needing prayer. You don't have to apologize. This is the place where you can be prayed for. Every single week, at the end of every service, at every campus, there are people who want to pray with you. Man, if I get the opportunity, man, of course I want to pray with you. Of course. Of course. Because we all need prayer. We all need it. We all need it. Man, some of the most intimate moments with my wife and my kids has been when my wife says, "Will you pray for me?" Or my kids are nervous about something. I say, "Dad, Dad," and they don't say, "Pastor, Dad, would you pray over me?" Man, those are some of the moments I'll cherish till I die. And I believe those are moments I'll take with me when I'm in heaven. Pray with me. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed." The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Do you know what that means? When you're at the point where you're no longer going to fake it and you're going to get real, God's going to show up. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. One of the first miracles I ever saw take place at Sandals Church, we were at a birthday party. Sandals wasn't even 100 people yet. I knew almost everybody in the church by name. We were at a birthday party and an 8-week-old girl, we don't know what happened. We don't know if she had a stroke or a heart attack, but she stopped breathing and she turned blue. None of us knew what to do at the party, and so somebody did CPR on an infant, and we broke many of her ribs because we didn't know what we were doing. Took off to the hospital, got there. Most of the church got there, man. She was coded, gone, done. The doctor met us in the meditation room as our church was praying. He said, look, I'm going to tell you. He said, she's in a grave situation. You need to pray. And we began to pray. And we prayed as a church. One by one, we went around. We said, dear God, please, please do a miracle here. An eight-week-old baby. I believe it was at her mother's birthday. Can you imagine, moms, your birthday? Your eight-week-old baby is blue, coated. So we prayed. The nurse found out we were Christians. She came in. She said, we got the baby back, but she's in serious condition. She's in grave condition. We're going to transport her to a hospital that is better skilled to take care of infants. She said, you need to pray as they transport her because she might not make it to the other hospital. And she got there. And we kept praying. We kept praying. And listen to me, her condition got worse. The dad came to me and he said, I want us all to pray and I want us to anoint her with oil. He got permission by Kaiser Permanente to go into ICU. And there were about eight pastors. And we went in there, scrubbed down. We put on doctor's clothes. We went in there and we prayed over this little baby in an oxygen tent. Her condition was grave, but the doctor that was overseeing her care was a believer. And he let us come in. And I'll never forget this. This is the words of the Father. He said, can we all confess our sins before we pray? That's an interesting comment to make in a bunch of pastors. You can confess and get fired. And one by one, pastors went around and confessed their sins. Most of it was unbelief, but some of it was like, whoa, we'll talk about that later. Okay. And we confessed our sins, and we anointed this little tiny baby with oil. And in 10 minutes, she was in her mother's arms, completely whole, completely well. Listen to me, it gets better. Here's what Kaiser said. She's probably going to have some brain damage. She's going to be a special needs kid. That special needs kid graduated third in her class and just started college this year. That's what God does. That's what God does. That's God. When we confess, when we get real and we say, dear God, I can't fix this, but you can. God's like, gotcha, gotcha. You know what else though? We need people that pray for me, you. Let me ask you this question. Who do you have in your life that prays for you? That prays for you. Listen to Romans 1:9. God knows how often I pray for you. You know what he means? It's too often to count. Can you imagine having a person like this in your life? God knows how much I pray for you. I pray for you. Day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to whom? God, whom I serve with all my heart. God wants you to have a friend like this at Sandals Church. God wants you to be in a community group like this at Sandals Church where people pray for you more than you pray for you. We need people praying for us. People who know us, who know our struggles, who know our hurts, who know our fears. God only knows how often I pray for you. I need to pray for help. Excuse me, I need to pray for God's help in my battles. Doesn't matter how strong you are, Joshua, without God, you can't win. Without God, you can't win. You need God. This is one of the first verses I memorized when I gave my life to Christ, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. How many of you guys want to be heard by God when you pray? Then you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to seek his face. You got to turn from your wickedness. Let me ask you this question. Where do you need to be Joshua right now? Where is God calling you to stand up and fight right now? That's your part. That's my part. Where do I need to be Moses? Where do I need to be Moses? You see, some of you are busybodies and you want to run in and fight every battle. Sometimes you just need to step back and just pray God. Sit God on them. Just sit God on them. I don't know what's happening in your marriage, but some of you think God's calling you to be Joshua, but God's called you to be Moses. And instead of you trying to fix it yourself, you need to just sit God on your marriage. Say, God, I need you on my finances. I need you on this child. I need you in this marriage. God, I need you in this place. See, some of us always want to be Joshua, and the reality is sometimes God's called us to be Moses, and we got to just step back. Next, I need to pray for my spiritual leaders as they pray for me. Let me tell you why I picked this passage. Even Moses got tired. Even Moses. I've been a pastor long enough to see great men fall. Great men. Great churches crumble. And do you know why? They tried to be Joshua their whole life. And as they age, you got to transition. You got to be Moses, but you need Aaron and you need Ur. You need people to come around and pray for you. Man, we're in this series called 40 Days of Faith. We're trying to raise a ridiculous amount of money. And I asked our staff, we have almost 200 people on staff at Sandals Church. That's bigger than any church I attended as a child. Here's what I asked our staff. I asked our staff on Wednesdays, that's the day that I do sermon prep, if they would pray for me, and if they would fast all day on Wednesdays. And I got to tell you, these are some of the easiest sermons I've ever written. Now, my poor staff is starving. They're ready to eat each other at the end of work every week. But I've had literally almost 200 people praying and fasting just for me on Wednesday so I can prep the message for you. Some of you have come up to me and said, Pastor Matt, these past couple weeks, man, these sermons have blown my mind. I said, it's not me, it's God, and it's the people who are praying. The people who are praying, the people who are coming alongside, and they're saying, you know what, we're going to pray for our leader. It can't all be on him. I can't tell you how many of our leaders have said this, have stood up and said, it can't all be on Matt's shoulders. We need to carry the load. Those are Aaron's. Those are Ur's. Those are people that come alongside us. And we all need this. We all need those people, you and me. You need people that lift your arms, and I need people that lift my arms. Listen to what Paul says as he ends his letter to the church in Rome. He says, dear brothers and sisters, right in there, as a church, we're family. I know some of you come from some screwed up family. Listen to me. This is the place God's going to heal your view of family. This is the place where, ladies, you're supposed to find men that love you like a brother, that protect you like a brother. And men, this is the place where we find sisters who watch our back, who warn us and pray for us. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing? He's calling us out. He says, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for whom? Me. Given to you by the Holy Spirit. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Spirit. Listen, this is a little awkward. But my job is not just to teach you the comfortable texts. My job is to teach you the Word of God. Your job is not just to listen to me. Your job is to pray for me. Because I am only as powerful in God as the prayers of the people of Sandals Church. And Paul says, I know, Rome, you think you're special. I know you think you're large, but I urge you in the name of Jesus Christ to pray for me. And here's why. What happens if the Apostle Paul falls? We don't have some of our New Testament. What happens if Sandals Church falls? many lost people who will never attend another church will never come to know Jesus. The stakes are so high. I love you, but Christianity's not just about you. Pray for me, listen to me, as I pray for you. Let my faith encourage you. And here's my prayer, that your faith would encourage me. And together, Sandals Church will be an incredible place when we pray for each other and we lift one another up and we pray for one another and we say, God, move in this place. I need to pray for my spiritual leaders as they pray for me. I'm going to close in prayer and I'm going to pray for you. I know a lot of you, even at our campuses, you got places to go and you got to scurry out. I don't want you to scurry. I want you to stay, because as soon as the message is over and the offering's taken and the worship, we're going to have a special time of prayer where we pray over our campus pastors at every campus. We pray for them as they pray for us. We're not just going to talk about Scripture. We're actually going to be obedient to it today. So I'm going to close with this verse. The Apostle Paul writes to a guy by the name of Philemon. Can you imagine if you had your own book in the Bible? Let's turn to Matt Brown. He was a knucklehead, right? That's Philemon. He says, and I am praying for you, Philemon, that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. If your faith is not making you a more generous person, it might not be real faith. You cannot worship a generous God and not become generous. That's just the reality. I'm praying for you that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. God has blessed us, and it is an honor and a privilege to bless him with how he's blessed us. I want to challenge you right now to prepare your hearts for offering. It's an important time each and every week where we give back a small portion of what God has given to us. And let me just tell you this. You will never go to a church where the pastor prays more for your financial blessing than here. I love when I hear people get raises, promotions, jobs. Man, I am your cheerleader when it comes to finance. Praise God, you're rich, I'm not, I don't care. Yay, you, awesome. I'm praying for your jobs, I'm praying for promotions, I'm praying for benefits and blessings, because it is out of the generosity that you experience from God that you can give back to him, and we can build this church together, man. Listen, I don't need to be wealthy, but I want to be a part of a generous church, and that's what God's calling us to. So ushers, let's prepare for offering in all of our campuses. And I'm just going to pray over us. Man, I'm going to pray over you. I know some of you got to get ready to give, so I was going to ask you to lift your hands, but God knows your heart. Okay, so let me pray over everybody. Heavenly Father, I pray over every person in this church, young, old, married, single. Lord, I pray that you bless us with finances. Lord, I pray that you shock us with just incredible blessings, Lord, especially as we go into this last week of praying about what we're to give. Lord, I pray that there's money that we didn't know about, checks that come from nowhere, raises, promotions. God, I pray you do amazing things in our life this week so that we can be givers to you. Lord, bless us financially so we can be a financial blessing to your church and to your kingdom. Lord, bless this offering. Accept it as something humble from our hearts. From us to you, we ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.